morning. We have our sermon series here, Pay Attention. Do you remember this? Our second message of the series is today, The Word is Threatened. That's the title. Pay attention, the Bible is under attack. The Bible is threatened. So that's our subject. So would you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll be in a number of places this morning in our text. I'll have you read one verse, and then you may tell your neighbor about the verse for a minute and then sit down. Verse 3. Ready? 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. Good morning, by the way. Good morning. Praise the Lord. Hey, Christ is alive. He is risen. Isn't that amazing? Wow. That's it. I might not know the answer to your question, but I would like to say Christ is risen. Say that with me. I may not know the answer to your question, but I would like to say Christ is risen. Okay. That's the most important issue. All right, chapter 11, verse 3. But I fear, will you read it with me? But I fear, lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. It is such a good verse. We've got to read it again. And slow. Let's go. But I fear, what's that mean? Who's speaking? Paul. Who is Paul? Apostle. He pastored the Corinthians. I'm afraid to the Corinthians. I'm afraid this might happen to you. Is Paul a good pastor? Is Pastor Schaller a good pastor?
Yes.
Wow. Man, why have I waited so long to ask you that question? I needed that a long time ago. All right, so whoever the pastor is, wherever he is in the United States or around the world, he should somehow feel the responsibility. I am afraid for you. I am afraid for the Corinthians. I am afraid something might happen that's not good for you. That's not good for us. So this is what he said. Verse 3. Lest by any means, let's say it again. But I fear, lest by any means, what's that? By any means, what? In any way that this would happen, by any way that this would happen, that you would be misled, beguiled, as the serpent beguiled Eve. Where is that in the Bible?
Genesis.
In Genesis. Which chapter? Chapter 3. The devil beguiled, tricked who? Eve. Through his subtlety. Did he come like pitchfork and horns? Like maybe he came like dressed like Pastor Schaller. Maybe he was smooth talking. Maybe he came with a rose in his hand. Maybe with a check in his wallet. Maybe he came with the poetry and with a song, and maybe fascinating lights somehow. He came. Look at chapter 11, verse 14. No marvel, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Okay. Verse 3. Can we start there at part B? So your minds should be corrupted. The mind, what happens to the mind? Corrupted. corrupted, the mind evilly affected, polluted, corrupted, compromised, dull. I once believed, but now I don't believe anymore, that the mind would be changed, that the mind would be now complicated and not simple. Corrupted from the... Read that, please. Look at your Bible. Is it on the... Oh, there it is. Thank you. From the simplicity that is in Christ. Simplicity. Hey, has anybody been hungry here? And have you ever sat down with somebody who could talk a lot about food? And they could tell you a menu as long as your arm, and tell you about all the sauces and the spices and everything, and you're sitting there and your stomach is grumbling, and then you say, anybody got any food? And the guy goes, well, I can explain to you what veal parmesan is. I can tell you about cordon bleu, or what is it, chicken cordon bleu, or filet mignon. And the guy goes, hey, I'm done with the words. Where's the food? Okay, you may be seated. I'll tell you straight up what I want to say to you today. You were born again by God's grace, and the Spirit of God came into your heart. Do you remember that? Do you remember how you once were without Christ, lost? And I met a man on the street corner over here, and he said, and we were handing out tickets, he said, I'm lost. I go, wow, that's awesome, because I wanted to tell you that. No, he said, I'm from Philadelphia. I don't know where I am. I'm from Philadelphia. And he was in trouble because the night before he was in a bar room. He had come down with some friends, and he was drinking and so on. And he looked around in the bar room, and he didn't recognize anybody. And so he started looking for his friend. And he said to me, here at the corner, he said, what time is it? I said, it's 11 o'clock. He said, in the morning? I go, there's the sun. He goes, I have been walking for 9 hours. I don't know where I am. And my phone is dead. And I'm lost. I said, are you high? He said, no, I'm not. And we helped him. We got him a bottle of water. We charged his phone in my car. We talked. He said the prayer. He contacted his friends, and he was, in about an hour later, he was gone. And I think that many of us could understand, maybe even remember, when we were without Christ. And then because of Christ, we came to a church, and at the center of the worship is the Bible. In our message here, pay attention, the Bible is threatened. When I came into this church about 40 years ago, I was fascinated because the pastor was always teaching from the Bible. He quoted from the Bible. He taught the Bible. He loved the Bible. He had no message but the Bible. And I started to listen, and I woke up. Before, when I was sitting in the church, I mean, this one, I'd be sometimes counting the tiles and thinking about the windows and making different, you know, thinking about daydreaming. And then it happened, like I started to listen, and the Holy Spirit anointed the meetings, and we started to learn the Bible. I would like to say the Bible is under attack because the devil knows what happens when a person finds the Bible. Paul said, I am afraid that you'll be taken away from the simplicity. You know, it's very easy to eat a sandwich. It's another thing to talk for hours about sandwiches. It's one thing to talk for hours about God, and then it's another thing to really hear from God and know what the Bible is saying. And that's what I want to say today. That in the beginning, let's go to the beginning in Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 3, and we'll make an observation here about the devil talking to Eve, God speaking to Adam, and we will draw it this way in our diagram. What did God say to Adam? Verse 16. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Isn't that a good word? Of every tree you may freely eat. God really gives us a lot of freedom. He gives us there was only one tree in the whole garden that was off limits. Verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it. For in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. That's a verse I never get tired of. It comes back to my mind again and again. Death is because of sin. God, we don't know what the world looked like at the time of Adam and Eve, but there was not death with Adam and Eve. Well, I'm sorry, this is Adam. Eve is not yet created, but that comes in the next verses. So later, Eve, after Adam and Eve are together, we'll put a dress on Eve there, and some hair on her. And she needs some makeup, yeah, I think so. And jewelry. Okay. They are both naked and they don't know, really, they don't see it that way, the way we see it. We are naked, we are ashamed, we are insecure, we are in a world where we must be clothed. But Adam and Eve were not clothed, but with the glory of God, the Spirit of God, there was no guilt or shame or fear. Then in chapter 3, the devil came and spoke to Eve, and this is how she answered, verse 2. The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Where did she hear this from? Adam, he told her. But of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. That little phrase, neither shall you touch it, is added. She added that part. It wasn't said by God in chapter 2, 17. But it was said by her in chapter 3, verse 3. Maybe even Adam added that in his instruction to her. He might have said, do not eat of that tree that is in the garden. Don't even touch it. Can you see? Can't you see you saying that? Don't even get close to it. Don't even touch it. But that's not in the original command of God. It seems you could touch it. You just simply cannot eat it. I say this to say that when it comes to the Bible, how important it is to understand what it says, and don't add to it and don't take away from it. We read that in Revelation 22, Ezekiel 12. And we know how important it is. And here's a short list of things we could think about regarding the Bible. The Bible is needful for salvation. This is the gospel, the Bible, the Word of God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not my word. Proverbs 30, verse 5, the Bible is pure. It is also quick, living, powerful, the Bible. When I went to the church where I could learn the Bible, it changed my life. It fed me. I realized that in politics there are different parties, and you may have this opinion or that opinion about things, and those opinions may be very useful, but behind the opinion is that which does not pass away. We hope my opinions may not be from the Word, but behind my small-mindedness and my opinion and my culture, my history, my personal life is something that transcends it. We say it this way in our typical diagram, which you never tire of, that the man has an opinion and he's a Ravens fan and he's a Pittsburgh Steelers fan and a Denver fan and a New England fan, whatever he may be. He's a Republican or Democrat or he's for... I was in Ireland and I was joking around in the street and I said, Liverpool United or Manchester United. And they just lit up like they were angry with me. And I said, listen, I'm from America. I don't know what I'm talking about. They go, Manchester. I go, Liverpool. You know, they come at me like with this, you know. They go, whoa, okay. I should be swift to hear and slow to speak. There's so much activity on the first floor of the house in this world. But the Word of God transcends our culture, our opinions. It is life. It is God's mind. It's very important. No book has ever been written like the Bible. We have the Sanskrits and Bhagavad Gita's. We have Homer and Plato. Plato's Republic. We have Shakespeare and Dickens and all kinds of literature of all kinds. But there is no book like the Bible, written by 40 men over 1,600 years, with covenants and doctrines and promises, with miracles and parables. And by the way, many Old Testament miracles are mentioned in the New Testament as historical fact. Christ spoke about Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah, Noah in the ark, Jonah in the fish. These are all very interesting and important to us because man has been told by God that man does not live by his stomach, but he lives by every word that comes from God's mouth. In the temptation, when the devil was subtly talking to Eve and looking, it says that she saw that the tree of knowledge was good for food. Just kind of pat your stomach for a minute. Let's see. Danger. Danger. She saw a tree that was good for food. Many temptations are based on my physical body. Many temptations on my stomach, my hormones, my sexuality. Many temptations based on my physical body, but she was told not to eat of that tree. But when she saw It was good for food. Number two, it was a tree pleasant to her eyes. Pleasant to her eyes. That's another thing. We take the Bible away from us. Okay, just put it over here. The devil would like to take the Bible away from me so that this is how I live. My stomach, my eyes, what I see. I make my decisions based on what I see, how I feel, what I think, what my opinion is, what my culture is, what mom and dad told me, what I learned in the high school, what I learn on the street. That's all very easy. Number three, she believed, the devil said, God knows that if you eat of this tree, you will not die. Also, you will be wise and be as gods. Great idea. Who wouldn't want to be a god? Really? Is God holding something back from me? Yes, he's holding something back from you. You'd be much greater if you did it this way. You'd be much wiser. You'd be stronger. Your life would be better. You've got to live your life independently and based on how you feel and how you see things. But listen, if I have this, and I learned, thank you, Pastor. If I learn this, this has the power to change a person's life as he lives by faith. This is, I cannot eat of that tree. I cannot eat of it. God said, do not eat of it. I'm not going to. Yeah, but you'll be a fool. Then I'll be a fool. I live by trusting in my God. My God will take care of me. And you may call me a fool, but let's see at the end of the game who wins. Let's see at the end when the whole story, at the end of the day, who wins. But the man that lives by faith in what God has said. Isn't that amazing? You know how we know this is true? There's one man that did it. His name is Jesus. Jesus Christ lived. He said, man must not live by bread alone. He needs a sandwich, but he doesn't have to be yanked around by sandwiches. You know? A man might have a girlfriend in God's time, God's way, but he doesn't get yanked around by his lust and drive and all that. That stuff that makes me, some men are like animals and women too. Because they live by, oh, it's good for food, it's pleasant to the eyes, and actually I'm going to gain something. Well, you may lie down in sorrow, like the man the other day at the street corner. Where am I? I'm from Philadelphia. I've been walking for 9 hours. I don't know where I am. Amazing. I believe that that's a good example of what is happening in our culture, where the Bible is taken away out of the schools, taken away out of the family, and listen to this, taken away out of the church. I want to go to a church where I learn about the book of Job, the book of Psalms, the book of Ecclesiastes, the book of Proverbs. I want to go to a church where I learn about Matthew and the book of Revelation, and I want to know about the covenants, and I want to know who was Abraham and who was Isaac and who was Jacob. I do. And, you know, I did go to that church. There were times when my stomach would growl. And I would see some delightful Turkish delight over here. And that's what I wanted. And God said, don't touch it. Follow me. Trust me. Is it better for me to follow you, God, and look like a fool and trust you no matter what you have said? Yes, it is. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of my mouth. And look at my son. For I have highly exalted him, and he is the way, the truth, and the life. All other men, we all are drawn to our sin nature, but we also have an option. We can live by faith in what he said and deny our rights to our stomach, our self-importance, our lust patterns. There's no book like this one. It can't contain such important matters. This contains so important advice. My identity. Who am I? My value. My freedom from my sin nature. What does it profit a man? He has everything, but he's lost, saying, where am I? I'm from Philadelphia. What does it profit a man if he has so much knowledge, but not the knowledge of the Holy One? What does it profit me if I learn all kinds of books and all kinds of... The world is being indulged with. It's the gorging on knowledge. It has so much knowledge, it is multiplying daily. Man knows more than he has ever known before in the history of the human race. And then look at the condition we are in. Little boys wonder, am I a girl or am I a boy? How could you lose such a fundamental aspect of reality unless you are being misled? You are under the influence of a culture that is gone, that is moving away and removing a biblical reference, the anchor of my soul, the very foundation for my identity as a person. I'm a boy. I like a little boy to grow up be a man. I want the man to know what it is to be a man. And to be a man that has an ability to think beyond just the first floor of the house. But to say that God will help me, God will teach me, God will take care of me. I need to go to a Sunday school. I need my mom and dad to take me there. I need a pastor. I need a church body. Then as I'm a young man, and then I grow up and I face failure and trouble and maybe even addictions of some kind, I know that there is a God in heaven who cares for me and will deliver me from myself. He will set me on a rock higher than myself. I know there is a Bible that said, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed unto your word. That's how it will happen. 119:10-11. Wow. There is no book that has done so much for the world as the Bible. Queen Victoria, in the last century, said that the reason why the British Empire has been blessed of God, the reason why the British Empire has had this great influence worldwide, and why we have been blessed of God, I cannot quote it exactly, but she said it's because of this book. Teddy Roosevelt gave in a Saturday Evening Post article back when he was president 18 reasons why American people should go to church. Men and women, young children need this book. How will a young child know? But it's by the teaching of the Bible. No book can do so much as the Bible. It'll pull us up and help us. We see it around the world when missionaries and these people of God go and they humbly share and serve, and then salvation happens and the people are born again, not of corruptible seed but of incorruptible, of the word of God that lives and abides forever. Why are the seminaries? I talked to a seminarian once. He had studied 4 years at the university. And I said, how much Bible did you study? He said, we had one semester. I said, out of 8 semesters of study, what did you study then? He says, psychology and leadership, administration and finances and languages, but we didn't study the Bible. And I think in my heart, I don't want to go to that kind of school. I want to go to a school where we get into this great book and it gets into me. It is engrafted in us. And we increase and we grow with every word that comes. Because it will deal with my temptation. It will deal with my challenges. Listen, no book has been so neglected and misused as the Bible. It is everywhere printed. It's the most printed book in every year. I've met people are buying the Bible. They want a Bible all the time. Millions of Bibles are being published and printed, but it is so much also neglected. For you yourself know, perhaps, as in my case, I just wanted to read it one day and I got to the begats part. Begat and begat and begat and begat, and I had little interest. My tolerance level was over. I closed the book and put it away. I could not handle it. I did not have a teacher. I was not saved. I did not know. But I would say, saved or not, please read the Bible. The Bible has the power of God to save you, the power of God to heal you, the power of God to change you. It has the power of God to give you godly meditation. It is the power of God to change things. And by God speaking, let there be light, there was light. God is still speaking, and he speaks through this book. But it is neglected. How many churches would we go to today in the Baltimore area, and would we hear the Bible? I don't know. I do not know, and because I don't go to them, but I have been brought up in this country, and many times when I would go somewhere, I did not get to hear a message from the Bible. We hope that would change. American people, some said, you got to have more entertainment in the church. I say, no. American people are hungry for reality. They say you got to have more emotion in the church. I go, I don't know. I want that to come to us as God gives it to us. But we also have a mind and we need to be fed. And our emotions are a gift and we are healthy emotionally and we need them. And I love to dance just like anybody else does. But behind the dancing, I need some real food. Give me a sandwich from heaven. Give me a word. Give me a slice of bread. Give me a message that will touch my heart and affect me forever so I don't forget it. Steel hooks. Steel hooks that I can hang my life on. One relative of mine, he said to me, he said, I don't know where you learn to speak the way you speak. We're just talking, having coffee. You don't know even how they hear you. But it seems like things you say are like a hook you can hang things on. And I say, yeah, that's from the Lord. The Lord gives you wisdom. And you're able to understand this book like there are hooks and you can hang things there. That belongs over there. Oh, I know about that. That goes over there. That's what I think about this and that goes there. And I got a problem in my marriage. Okay, I know about that. I realize and I think about it this way. And you know, this is the book that has the power of God to change a nation. It has the power of God to go into a country like China and have an effect on 150 million people, the Bible. And then it says, all true servants of God love the Bible. It's just with us. In us. You've got it. We've got it. We're growing in it. Boy, the Bible, the content of it comforts a dying man like no other book. A man that goes through his life and he has at the end of his life this book, it is great comfort to him. Say it again. He's laying in bed. Say it again. Read John 11 to me one more time. I am the resurrection and the life. Read again John 14, that you go to prepare a place for me. And if it wasn't so, I would tell you. tell me that we that are dead will go up first in the rapture, and those that are living will follow after. And how about when Samuel said to Saul, tomorrow you shall be with me? How about David when he lost his baby? He said, the baby will not come to me, but I will go to the baby. He will go to the baby. He's saying, I am going to heaven. Jesus said, we'll sit at a table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. And people will come from all directions. We read this in the Bible. The Bible is neglected. Unfortunately, believers neglect it. Churches neglect it. Education neglects it. Professors neglect it. Politicians, of course, they neglect it. You and I can neglect it and avoid it, and then it can also be misused. You can take a Bible verse out of there like the devil did when he tempted Jesus, and he can quote the Bible verse, but Jesus countered with the correct Bible verse. There are people that can say things that are from the Bible like, you have blasphemed the Holy Spirit. You cannot be forgiven. Jesus said that in Matthew 12. But Jesus also said, of all the Father has given me, I have lost none. And we cannot blaspheme the Holy Spirit as believers. That is not possible. We can blaspheme the Son. We can grieve the Spirit. We can quench the Spirit, but we cannot blaspheme. But the devil's favorite message is that one. But we cannot do it. And you undoubtedly, I am sure you have not done that. I do not believe it can happen only in the first century when Jesus was here. And that's a point. But just to say, the Bible can be misused. It can be legalistically used. It can be condemning. But Christ, God, did not give us the Bible so we'd be condemned, that we would be forgiven, loved, encouraged, changed from glory to glory and faith to faith. Lastly, I think what happens is you start to read it and you think about it, you write down here little parts in the columns and make marks in your Bible if you want to. It's your decision. But you get familiar with it. You go back and forth and you think about it and you pray and worship. The Bible without worship is like straw or cardboard. It's not alive. When you give your heart to Christ and you walk by faith, the Bible starts to live and move. It's powerful. The humble will hear and they'd be glad. The proud can use the Bible to condemn or have a cult or something strange or weird teachings of some kind. But the humble will hear and they will be glad. The fruit of Bible knowledge is joy. The fruit of knowing and hearing the voice of God is personal freedom. It is encouragement. Somebody said, I have bad memories about the church. I don't want to go there. And I say, oh no, maybe you have bad memories, but there is that which is bigger than a bad memory. Look at this house. Look at this house. This word is bigger than a bad memory. You might say, yeah, Jesus died on the cross. I don't want to look. Well, look again. He is risen from the dead 3 days later. He is your Savior. As He died on the cross, your sins were taken away. Somebody could say, my marriage is bad. I can't even think about it. It is painful. We could say, yes, we understand, but take heed. Be careful. Hear what God has to say to you. He will build you up. He will release you. You will love. You will love again. Somebody said, I've been hurt so many times, I cannot love or trust anymore. And we say, oh no, God made you so that you would be like God. God will forgive and again forgive and again forgive. God will look at it and say, love endures. We are able, we bear all things, believe all things, and hope all things. Wait a minute. The grave cannot be my life. It must be the word that transcends the grave. Wait a minute. My sin cannot determine my life. It must be God's word that transcends my sin. Wait a minute. My bad self-image or my ugly past cannot define my life. It must be that which is greater than my life. Hesed, the Hebrew word for loving kindness, is greater than life. Do you see that? Take a little boy that's been molested, God forbid, and just feed him the word. Take a man living in poverty in a third world country and feed him the word. Take the unemployed in Albania. We were in Albania one time, and there was 90% unemployment, and all the men hanging out at the square, and many going to Italy by ferry to try to wash cars or sell flowers or make $100 a month to send back home. Very poor country. And I would say, what can we do for these people? What could we give them? And the answer is the word of God. That is the answer. The word of God. Listen, let me tell you the story. It goes like this, very simple. Elijah came to the widow, and she didn't have anything. And she had a little cup of flour and a little oil left. And he said, go and make a cake for me. That's what she did. And then it multiplied. And you know, when we listen to the word, God will say, this is what I'm talking to you. Give me your heart. I will lead you in, I'll lead you out. Do you realize I am bigger than your little cup of oil, cup of flour? Do you realize I am bigger than your trouble, your pain, your problem, your divorce, your cancer? Do you realize I'm bigger than your past, your ugly memories, or whatever it might be? Do you realize there is a famine in the world, and it is a famine of the word? There is a famine of the word, and that's why I come. Because I need to be fed the word and get a message and feed the flock of God, which is among you, not by constraint, but willingly, and not as a filthy lucre. That means like getting a paycheck. But you do it as of a ready mind. Let's go back to this one. Is it this one? This one. Ready mind, good for food. Where's your mind at? My mind is in my stomach. My mind is in my sex life. My mind is in my wicked ways, my lying and cheating and dishonesty to myself, not to mention to other people. If I'm dishonest with myself, I'll be dishonest with other people. But what's the answer to these three things? Huh? Yeah, it is. The mind. Listen, Paul said it. Listen. I am afraid for you, lest you would be beguiled, deceived, misled by Satan, as Satan misled Eve. She was misled from the simplicity that is in Christ, and she was led into complexity. But with our mind and the word, there is simplicity. What could be more simple than saying, I am following God, I am trusting what he said, God has said, this is what I believe. When a man lives like that in Albania, I cannot tell you what will happen, but I know that blessed are you that hear the word. Jesus said it. Blessed are you, your mother and sister are, your mother and your sisters and brothers are here. And he said, well, who is my mother, my brother, my sisters? They that hear the word of God and they keep it. That is a person that I got a real contact with. Because you and I are living not by bread alone, but by living not by our organs, our hormones, not by our sight. But we're living by faith in what God has said. How does a man overcome pornography? He has control over his body. He has control over his eyes. He has control over his life, and he has decided, instead of feeding my eyes, I will live by faith in what God has said. I will meditate upon his word, believe in what God has said, live by faith in him, follow him, and he will set me free. And the devil will say, not going to happen. And we say, it is happening. It is happening. And you can go back in your hole. Okay, you can go back and you can just make your own way, go about your own business, but you've got nothing to do with me because, young men, you have overcome the wicked one because the word of God abides in you. That's pretty amazing. Think with him. Meditate. Let's close. Here we go. Psalm 1. Carefully listen to this. This is amazing. Just think about a man, simple guy, just got a little bit of the Bible. I got it in my heart. Living like this, walking down the road. Up in Maine, this is how I started. I was 19 years old. I had a Bible. I didn't know anything. I just started to read it. I lived in Booth Bay Harbor that summer, and I wanted to go to a church, and I found this one up there in Maine. And I started to think about it and just say to God, I want to live by what you say. So this is another option for me, to live by what you say. So here it is. Blessed is the man that walks not in the way of sinners, nor stands in the way of sinners. Sorry, walks not. What's the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly? Walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. And there's a lot of ungodly counsel out there. You know, cheat on her, steal that. Don't you get away with that? Don't worry about it. Everybody does it. In all areas of life, there's ungodly counsel. But blessed is man that does not live with ungodly counsel, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. The kings of Israel, the kings of Judah, the prophets of Israel, the covenants, the promises, the parables, the miracles, the coming of Christ, the prophecies about Jesus coming. And by the way, he's coming. And we don't know the hour, the day or the hour, but he's coming. And now we are blessed because we don't live in the counsel of the ungodly, stand in the way of sinners, sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. He reads the Gospels through in a month. He reads the New Testament, the epistles in a month. He reads the Psalms 5 in a day. And in a month, he reads 150 of them, 5 a day. One chapter of Proverbs a day, and he goes through it in 31 days. He has a little way. He's reading. He's listening. He's listening to the messages. He's reading books that help him and encourage him in his study. And that man, then it says this, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. There's a big oak tree out in Nevada, in the desert. And the people wonder, where does it get its water? It's underground, underground river. And that tree is growing, and it's huge, couple hundred years old. And that's like you. Where does he get his joy from? He's getting it from the Bible. Why is he always going? And he just doesn't seem like he gets tired. Oh, he gets tired, but he waits upon God, and God gives him quickening power by the word. He is meditating upon the word day and night. And then it says, he will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. His leaf will not fade, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Why is it that everything that that guy touches, he prospers? Even when he fails in school, he ends up being the king of the whole thing. I can't figure it out. Even when he loses his money, he comes bouncing back with joy, optimism, faith, encouragement. He loves and edifies. Why isn't he ever depressed? Because he's planted by the rivers of water, and he doesn't have bad counsel, he's got godly counsel. And every child needs a mom and dad who will give him godly counsel. You don't say to your children bad things like they do it in the world. You never amount to anything. Imagine that. They asked in a prison one time, the man, how many of you men, your mom and dad said that you would end up here? Like all of them raised their hands. Wow, what counsel. You're going to end up in jail. You don't say that. Because God doesn't say that. You don't have these little cliches in the world that are just stupid, carnal. You have another vocabulary. You have another quality. You have transcendent speech. You have words fitly framed, fitted in your mouth. Proverbs 22:18. You live not by your stomach, not by your eyes. How about a guy married 7 years and then he goes, I think I fall in love with that woman over there. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? You're not thinking. You don't have a mind, the mind of Christ. You don't have a diet. You don't understand God's ways. When Eve took that fruit, she's probably just a second. This is going to be so awesome. It wasn't. It wasn't. Stupid people, me too. I'm saying it. Please don't. It's a strong word, but I'm making a point. I've got to realize how ridiculous I can be. I got to realize how stupid I can be. I got to realize how I need help. And brother and sister, I don't see anything in the Christian life except Christ saying to me, you got my word. I've given you the Holy Spirit. I am with you. I am your counselor. I am the way for you. I am the one that will help you. I will speak to you. I will help you. I will guide you. I will lead you. I will teach you. I'll heal you. I don't see it happening in La La Land or some dream world. I don't see it happening by a movie or a piece of poetry. I don't see it happening by an artistic thing or by the sky, as beautiful as it is, or the ocean, as great as it is. I do not see it happening by general revelation. I see it only happening by specific revelation, by the Bible. And in closing, pay attention. The Bible is being threatened. Take it out of the school. Take it out of the church. Take it out of your life. Ridicule it. Make fun of it. Abuse it. Neglect it. Do everything you can, but just don't let it get in the heart of a person. If it gets in the heart of a person and it grows there, then you will be blessed and you will profit in everything you do. If that word gets in you and starts to move in your heart, then even in a bad day, it's actually a great day. And when that Bible starts to be part of your way of thinking and your meditation in a relaxed, powerful, real way, you say, praise God, I've got a reference. For a dying man needs it, and a living man needs it. An old man needs it, and a young man needs it. A child needs it, and a mom and a dad need it. And when you take it away, listen to this. It is strange, but even children wonder, what is my sexuality? And unfortunately, the answer can be very confusing to them. Why would that question even be asked? But we have departed from the solid thinking of the word and wisdom and love. We have lost our way as a nation. And our leaders have thrown away the key to our blessing, our stability, our strength, our wisdom, and our ministry. And let's close this. That man who was from Philadelphia, wandering, he goes, you know, he cried. He said, nobody has ever helped me like you have done. And we didn't do much. We charged his phone. But that charged phone meant a lot to him. And he gave him a bottle of water. But you know what the greatest thing is? As they drove off, we gave him more than a bottle of water, more than a phone charged. We gave him a message. And maybe, maybe, God breathing on that message and it changes his life. That's our prayer. In every situation, you got more than just the Ravens or the Steelers, Democrat or Republican, more than conservative or liberal. You got more than just a particular point of view or an opinion on things. You got something that God says. And we pray and live and love and learn in our wives. And people say like this to you. They'll say, why are you so quiet and peaceful? And you say, because I'm blessed of God. Well, I'm blessed too. I hope you are, sir. I hope you are. And I really pray that you are. But I can tell you that my blessing isn't only because I once one day was saved. My blessing is because I'm living by my stomach. I'm living by every word that comes out of God's mouth. And if I fail, and we do, there's recourse. There's another way. There's an answer. There's a wisdom, a way of thinking, a ministry that is of great importance in this world. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? If you're here today and you'd like Jesus in your life, you will be born of the Spirit if you believe in him. If you're on the internet and you're saying the same, I want Jesus in my life, you will be born of the Spirit if you believe in him. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you shall be saved. Please do that today. Anyone in the auditorium, please say, I believe. Say it to God. Excuse me. Say it to God in your heart. I believe. And then raise your hand here in the auditorium. There's a hand over here. Thank you. God bless you. Great. Anybody else? There's another one over here. Thank you. There's one right there. There's another one right here. Three. Right there, this woman. Thank you. God bless you. Yes. Sisters and brothers. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? Just raise your hand. You're saying yes to Jesus for the first time. Anyone? On the internet. There's another one over here. Thank you. God bless you. Beautiful. Praise God. Praise God. Yes. Father, that we would love our Bible. We would learn our Bible, meditate on our Bible. It would speak to us, that we would be faithful church attendees. We would come to the church and listen to the Bible, learn the Bible, and grow in the Bible. It is food for us. We will be tempted this week, but we'll choose to live by faith in what God has said no matter what. We will be challenged in areas, but we'll choose to think with you and live by what God has said no matter what. We love your word. We embrace your word. We love it. We worship you with your word. We have your word. It is living, quick, and powerful, and it is discerning our thoughts. And you know us, Lord, by your word in us. It searches all the deep parts of the soul, every part of us, and we are in communion. Bring light, and we agree with the light. Bring light, and we confess it. Thank you in your name. Amen.